The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
One of Ireland's favourite singers is with us, Brian Kennedy. It is over 2 years, yes, I think, since you were with us disclosing that you had had a diagnosis of cancer.
That's right. That started that journey. Can you believe that's over 2 years now?
Well, I can believe it, but for you,
yeah,
how are you now?
I'm okay. You know, it's been a very strange couple of years. The first year, of course, was just taking it all in. I started, of course, treatment. I started radiation and chemo. And, of course, I also then started a conversation with the rest of the country and in some places the rest of the world, where people via the internet were saying, you know, do this, don't do this. It's because there's so many opinions out there about what.
Because you were a high profile person,
yeah,
who had spoken about cancer. Lots of people had opinions to share with you.
They really did. They were saying, please don't do chemo, do chemo. You know, every kind of version of you know, person out there was just, in the best intention ever, they were saying, we're worried about you, but don't believe the hype kind of thing, or do believe the hype. People are very pro Western medicine. Some people are not. And of course, then I had to find my own path through all that information. And it was a lot of information. In the meantime, as you know, my brother then passed away. This year, I've had a couple of people
from cancer as well.
Yes, also he had pancreatic cancer, which was much more aggressive. Mine is, the technical term is colorectal cancer, what I have. It's a very low down tumor. Initially, the low downness of it was probably, you know, we thought was a good thing because, you know, it wasn't anywhere near the higher up echelons of the bowel and things. But actually, 2 years in, the difficulty is it is, after various things that I've been doing and also the length of time, it is a little bit thicker. It seems to like it in there, Matt. So we have to coax it out of there. And now we're looking at all kinds of other, I'm about to have surgery in a couple of weeks for the first time in my life. So I'm, on one hand,
how do you feel about that?
I feel a whole host of things. I feel I'll be glad when it's happened because there's something final about that. I'm nervous about it. I've never had surgery before. I'm a little bit terrified. There's something very scary about the word surgery.
What are the doctors telling you is involved in the surgery?
Well, it's quite a long, it's an 8-hour operation. And basically we are headed to a colostomy world. That's where I'm headed. I was trying my very best to avoid having any kind of colostomy stoma situation that they call it, but that's actually where I'm headed. So it's taken me a long while. You know, this was flagged a year and a half ago, and it's taken me all this time to kind of go, really, do I really want to go there? And I kept meeting other people with colostomy situations, and they were so, I mean, Matt, the most amazing thing is you probably know people with a colostomy bag and you don't even know that they have it.
Yeah.
Things like that. So it's so much more common than I realized. So it took me, you know, if you know me at all, I didn't want to leave any stone unturned. I wanted to look at alternative things. I wanted to look at what
and
was
out
there.
And you did. I mean, you looked at diet in particular.
Looked at everything. Exactly. The juice thing, the organic thing, all of those things, exactly. I wanted to see if there was a natural way to get rid of something as toxic as a tumour. But as it turns out, some tumours are just too stubborn for their own good. My friend got diagnosed there in June with a brain tumour and died in August. Like, gone. 54 years old. So that has happened recently. And actually, the only upside of that is that it's made me actually make my mind up.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, I'd imagine that's frightening for anybody. If you have a friend, but if you actually have a cancerous tumour yourself and you become aware, and you've had the situation with your brother
with my brother
died from
before,
pancreatic cancer as well, that must be actually terrifying.
It was. I went to see him in the hospice in London. And it was only like just before I went to the Edinburgh Festival in August, he passed away there. So yeah, it was absolutely terrifying and heartbreaking, and just even more evidence, I suppose, of how cruel cancer can be. But the upside of all of that, Matt, is that, you know, Keith, my friend Keith, would have loved to have had the option that I have. The option that I have is colostomy world. And so therefore, aren't I really ultimately lucky that I can go there instead of saying to you, well, there's a whole different outcome that's a lot worse?
Well, I suppose the other thing is, what treatment? Have you had any chemotherapy, radiation treatment?
Not recently. I did.
But you did initially?
I did initially. I had 5 weeks of radiation, which did initially shrink that tumour. And in combination of 2 weeks of chemo, which was in a little, like a kind of a baby's bottle that went into a port in my chest. And look, I went on stage with that on.
I remember you telling me about that.
Because that's how much I wanted it not to define me completely. Like I said to you, I've been researching, I've been talking to other people, talking to lots of different people. We have amazing people here in Ireland. There's people all over the world that are world leaders in this stuff. And as we know, Matt, that, you know, the treatment is changing before our very eyes. In some ways, you actually can't keep up with the speed of it.
You know, the strange thing about cancer, and we know in this station so much for the Dare to Care and, you know, the Shave or Die before that.
Yes.
And we know from our own tragic experience with Tony Fenton dying
of
cancer as well. You do, though, think a lot of the times now, previously cancer was almost terminal diagnosis.
Death sentence.
You heard
that,
and it's
that's right.
Now I think people have come to the situation where they think, ah, oh, cancer, you can just deal with that.
Yes.
Now, it's 50-50. Sometimes you survive it, sometimes you don't.
I mean, I suppose that's why I'm talking to you so publicly about it. Once I get my head around it, I do, because I still get people stopping me in the street saying, how are you and what's going on? You look so well and you must have gotten the all clear.
And you do look very well.
I feel mostly very well. I do sometimes I feel overtired, certainly. But then it
started, is that the only side effect of having the cancer?
No, it started getting more and more painful rectally. So then I started just even recently having a bit more pain control. And that's how you know you really need to do something about it.
Has the tumour increased in size?
It's increased in thickness. Yeah, so it's exactly. And so if you think about it, like, this is how I understand it anyway, like an egg, the yolk itself is the tumour and the white is the space around it that they need to be able to cut it out safely for it. Now, the good news is I had another MRI very recently and it hasn't metastasized.
There's no secondaries because that's when you're in trouble, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you're in big trouble when that happens. And it has not metastasized. However, in order to preserve the next organ along, you sometimes have to make a decision to take something out just to preserve it, even though it might not be infected. So, like I said, I go and have surgery in a couple of weeks.
Where are you getting it done?
I'm getting it done in just outside London.
Yeah. Okay, why go to England and say they had done in Ireland? Because as you say, we've brilliant cancer doctors here in Ireland.
It's just what happened because the other important thing is that, of course, I didn't have insurance. So as it turned out, I thought I had insurance, man. I'm flat out writing checks for my Jeep and my house and different things like that. As it turned out, I didn't have insurance in time for this. So once this was diagnosed, then I had to, of course, I had to pay for the radiation and the chemo that eventually that came to light. I have to pay for this no matter where I have it done. It just so happens that I met some people in the north who then put us in touch with people who do this incredible thing called papillon treatment, which would have, if my tumour had been less than 3 centimetres, we could have availed of that, which involves shooting radiation directly into the tumour. My tumour was actually 1 centimetre bigger than that. It was 4 centimetres. So I couldn't do that. But they do then offer all kinds of other treatments. So it was really just a product of meeting different people, talking about who the experts were. And it turns out that this particular guy in London just treats the particular cancer I have all day long. That's what he does all day long. So I met with him just to see what it would be like. And we just had a good kind of personal connection. So that's really the only reason I'm going there. I would have this surgery anywhere.
When are you getting it done?
In just under 3 weeks' time. Yeah.
How nervous are you feeling?
Right now on your show, not at all, Matt. You have this way of putting me at ease.
Feel guilty having said it like that in case it make you feel, but you know what I mean? I think it is a sort of
guilt is no good.
No, but it's a natural thing, isn't it? To sort of, when you're looking ahead to a major surgery when you're going to be out cold for 8 hours or whatever.
Hopefully that'll feel like a blink of an eye. Look, I'm the kind of person that doesn't get excited about going to Australia until I'm on the plane. I won't really get nervous until I'm in the hospital and maybe in the scrubs and they're wheeling me down there. I don't know. The other great news that's really calming me is we're doing a fundraiser ball.
And I was just about to bring this. You have great friends.
Oh,
and
Matt,
the reason why I asked you in here today, one of the reasons is our mutual friend Paul Byrne is putting all of this together the Friday night before Christmas in the Clayton Hotel, what we all still know as the Burlington Hotel.
Right. That's right.
And he's getting loads of people involved.
Oh man, it's incredible. I could cry all day long. I didn't realise how much love there was out there. We have, you know, in terms of this generation, we have Picture This, we have Gavin James, you know, we have the Coronas. The Script are also playing. And Grant, you know, we have this thing called the Friday Club that we sometimes meet once a month. And it's basically a load of straight men and me talking about our lives, you know. And it's so fascinating to be a part of that. So little did I know that slowly but surely Paul said to me, how are you doing? What's going on? I know you don't have any insurance. How are you going to pay for this? What's going on? And so he just said to me, look, we want to put on a ball, because he said to me, don't forget the last 30 years, the amount of people you raised money for by doing all these things. So he behind my back and very lovingly has put together a whole cast of people, a team of people, Brian Whitehead, as we know, incredible people like that. So they are, I think there's
he's a manager of Picture This.
The manager of Picture This and our dear old friend, of course, Carmel Brehany. People are on this whole team of people. Santa, of course, at Bodyburn is dealing with the emails. So basically there's over 40 tables available. There are over 20 sold already, I believe. 2,500. I mean, this surgery is going to cost anywhere between 70, 80, 90,000 pounds. So hopefully that will go some way, if not all the way, to paying for it.
I mean, I know it's one way to find out, and it's a terrible way to find out, but you have found out over the last couple of years how many friends you have and how many people actually are looking out for you.
Really looking out for me. Not only that, being prepared to put their own lives to one side to make sure that this ball happens. It's called the Better Man Ball. That was Paul's idea, I think. And yeah, I mean, honestly, I just want to burst out crying sometimes, because I just think I had no idea that people cared this much, that were so kind to me, and people stopped me in the street. But even our own circle, like I said, the Friday club, those men, I mean, supposedly straight men don't tell you how they feel and all that. My goodness, these men are the, you know, they're incredible people. So I, like I say, I, of course, I'm looking forward to this, the 21st of December. But be prepared, Matt, if you're there.
I'll be there.
Just be looking at somebody crying for 3 or 4 hours with a full heart, you know, and hopefully with a great deal of relief.
Yeah, it's 2 and a bit years now at this stage. Yeah. I mean, it really has been life-changing for you, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. Like I said to you, I've lost people out of my life that I never thought I would lose. I never thought I would have cancer this long or I've had cancer at all. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to speak about it, because I know that it's affecting somebody who's listening right now, who has symptoms, who's afraid to go to their GP or to the hospital. And indeed, like me, was initially afraid. A year and a half ago, I couldn't get my head around a colostomy situation. I just, no, I'm 52 years old.
You were fighting it really, weren't you?
Absolutely, because I was thinking there must be another way out of this. And thank goodness I will go into the hospital knowing that I tried everything else.
I can't remember the exact figure. We have discussed stomas and colostomy bags previously, but I think there's 30, 40,000 people in this country who carry them around.
That's right, exactly. And I'm going to be one of them.
Yeah, and who live, you know, a normal life.
Oh, you live a full normal life,
and
absolutely.
You don't know. You wouldn't know looking at them how they're dressed, whatever.
That's
and stuff.
Correct, exactly. And I think they say that, and physically, it takes about 2 weeks for the whole thing to wear off, and some men it takes about 9 months psychologically for them to really get their heads around it. Now, I'm a robust enough character, so
you'll make the adjustment.
I certainly will.
You
no
probably already started on the road to making that adjustment.
Do you think
you?
I have? It's interesting you say that, because I think I have, but again, I have an awful. I really expect a lot of myself all the time, so. Yeah, I mean, part of even coming to talk to you, I think, is part of me putting my arms around this situation and going, right, Brian, here it is. You have to deal with this. This is an amazing option that you have. And like I said to you, doctors beforehand, a year and a half said to me, you should do this. This is what we think you should do. But it has taken me as safely. I mean, I didn't roll the dice. I knew that from MRIs and checks and things that I wasn't sitting on a ticking time bomb. I was sitting on something that was localized.
Yeah, has that often been a worry to you? The fact is that, I mean, as much as you worried about the impact of the surgery, but how much fear do you have that this tumor is thickening and growing and could spread?
They're unpredictable, aren't they? I mean,
but does that live with you all the time?
It does, and I'll tell you why it did, because my friend Keith, you know, had a funny feeling on the left-hand side of his body in June and died in August 24th from a full brain tumour. I saw his brain scans and it went from a pea to the size of a potato in 6 weeks. So I'm fully aware sometimes of how out of control those tumours can be. But no, I was being checked regularly enough, and all I could go by, Matt, was how my body felt, and naively or otherwise. But certainly, like I said to you, I had an MRI not very long ago, and they were at pains to say to me, look, even though it is thicker and it's not where it should be and all the rest of that, it hasn't metastasized. You don't have it in any other organs. So that was a great relief.
That's good news.
Yeah.
That's good. And I'm sure you'll have plenty more good news after you've had the surgery.
I look forward to bringing
time.
You that good news. I really do.
And then you'll have a good night out on the 21st of December at the Better Man Ball.
I cannot wait. So a big thank you to everybody involved. It's my one and only chance on your show, Matt, to say thank you to you for caring, and to Paul Byrne and his team for really, my goodness, I could cry right now.
Brian Kennedy, it's great seeing you looking so well. And I know we'll see you looking so well when you come back after the surgery.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.